Our Holy Gospel this Easter Sunday, 2020, comes from St. Matthew, the 27th and 28th chapters. The day after Jesus was crucified, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went with a guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Easter Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Creator, from Jesus the Christ, and from the Holy Spirit who gathers us into community even when we're physically separated one from the other. Empires crave it. Dictators covet it. Institutions strive for it. And the enemies of Jesus insisted on it. Security. But it's insecurity that's at the heart of this pandemic we're living through. Not knowing how far it will reach, how long it will last, how many lives it will claim. And with up to a quarter of carriers showing no symptoms, not knowing who has the virus adds yet another layer to our already acute sense of insecurity, our acute lack of safety. Obsessive-compulsive habits like being hyper-conscious about what you touch and how often you wash your hands are turning out to be big assets these days. In our house right now, in the name of safety, everything that comes home from the grocery store gets washed. Fruits, vegetables, packaged goods, milk containers, cereal boxes, chip bags, receipts, even the clothes you wore in the store. When you feel out of control, you try to control what you can. And the coronavirus is making us feel acutely out of control and very, very vulnerable. You're listening to this live stream this morning because social distancing is, at the moment, the only way we can ensure that the virus won't spread. It's a pretty strange way to celebrate Easter, isn't it? In this new world in which we find ourselves, it's hard to know who we can count on and where we find our security, our safety. The Romans? They had the security part of the equation down pat. Those who dared go public in opposing empire were met with brutal force, public execution by crucifixion. Early historians recall mass executions as a tactic of intimidation, of Roman roads lined with crucified victims. The Romans didn't invent crucifixion, but they used it often as a method to control any populace bent on resistance. It was, you might say, their security blanket. The account this morning from Matthew tells us that even though their leader is dead, the community Jesus left behind is still a perceived threat in the eyes of those who opposed him. Of course, they needn't have worried. Jesus' inner circle all abandoned or denied him when he was arrested. Only a few faithful women, in Matthew's account, even witnessed the crucifixion. Nonetheless, the religious leaders who plotted Jesus' death go to Pontius Pilate the next day demanding that an extra security measure be taken, and so an extra security detail is dispatched. But something, the gospel tells us, something happened before dawn on the third day, something that changed everything. The securely sealed and securely guarded tomb was not secure enough. What language can we borrow to describe what happened that morning? In the opening chapters of his gospel, Matthew uses the language of constellations and supernovas, of dreams sprung from unconscious realms, to tell the story of Jesus' birth. His point? The human sphere alone is too small a palette for painting the story of God's birth among us. The stars themselves and those who study them must be enlisted. What other language is there for telling how the creator of the universe, infinite and immortal, became finite, visible, vulnerable, trading the security of divinity for this unsafe, insecure, and cruel world in order to be Emmanuel, God with us? So Matthew, now in the final chapter of his story of God with us, is compelled to go there again to tell us how earth itself, in its trembling, convulsing, shaking, participates in the resurrection story. The earth shakes and human empires are dislodged. The earth shakes and weapons fall. The earth shakes and the imperial seal is rent. The earth shakes and the boundary between death and life is broken. And the fear with which Rome ruled the world is turned back on itself, paralyzing the soldiers and rendering their armaments utterly useless. The earth quakes and the world is changed. In some ways, the threat posed by COVID-19 pandemic is like that earthquake, for it too has changed everything. And though we know intellectually, at least, that this coronavirus won't threaten our safety and security forever, we also know it will leave a mark on our psyches and our common life for a good long while to come. Which is why I think we need to linger at a different moment in this story. The moment when Mary Magdalene and her companion reach the tomb, which is just after the earthquake has struck and the stone has been rolled away. "Do not be afraid," the messenger tells them. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised." There are those words again. Do not be afraid. The same words Joseph heard 28 chapters earlier, when news that his fiancée was pregnant turned his world upside down. The same words proclaimed to Mary as she learned she would carry God's son. The same words Jesus spoke to the 12 as he walked to them on the sea, and when he tried to tell them how precious to God they were, and on and on. Those words are back again this morning, prying their way into our corona-weary consciousness. Be not afraid. Of course you feel vulnerable. That's understandable. This virus is shaking the foundations of all you thought was solid. Of course you feel vulnerable. Its ripples are wreaking havoc on careers, shuttering businesses, turning home life on its head, sending anxiety through the roof. Only a fool would not feel vulnerable at this earth-shaking moment. And yet, there's something here for us in this fragile, frightening moment, something akin to what those women experienced, what they came to know, if we will only allow it some room. And it's this: God knows vulnerability from the inside out. For God traded power for powerlessness when he became vulnerable in Jesus for our sake. The world calls this utter foolishness. Who gives up power willingly? Power we admire, weakness we pity. Being in charge is how we're supposed to exert ourselves in the world. But all that bravado has come crashing down in the wake of the coronavirus. And maybe, just maybe, it's allowing us to see something that was well nigh impossible for us to see before. That the one whom we call all-powerful, the one on whom we've projected our own longing for invincibility, this God loves, yearns, longs to be vulnerable with us. Sisters and brothers, if we're going to experience resurrection today, it has to begin right here with the recognition of this vulnerability. But the story doesn't stop there. Listen closely now, for Matthew's whole story to this point is prelude to what happens after the angel's proclamation. The women, filled with fear and great joy, are entrusted with a message, are commissioned to tell the others, "Christ goes ahead of you to Galilee." What is Matthew telling us here? The words, "He is not here, he has been raised," are designed to get us moving, to take us somewhere. Resurrection isn't about staying in the empty graveyard, wallowing at our limitations. Resurrection has a trajectory, a mission, and that mission begins in Galilee. Why Galilee? It's the place where Christ's ministry first got traction, the place where he first called their names and they followed, the place where God's reign grew wings, the place where he taught the crowds, healed the sick, offered compassion, fed the multitudes, blessed the children, the place where he spoke of a Messiah who would suffer and die, yes, and on the third day rise. Christ promises to meet us just there, in all those places we've been asked by him to go. For now, those places may be limited, physically speaking, but no COVID crisis can set limits on the expansive precincts of the soul, on the intimate moments with family, on our awakening to the beauty that surrounds us, even if it's limited to a walk around the block. We can leave the empty tomb with great joy today, knowing that the one whom we love, whom we've sought, whom we've longed for, has gone ahead of us. And having turned vulnerability into strength, has become the Lord of life. In the final verse of Matthew's Gospel, after the community that was scattered by his crucifixion is gathered together once more, Jesus gives instructions, and then this final promise. "I am with you always," he tells them, "even to the end
of the age. There can be no greater security, no greater safety than knowing this. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.